bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the call to Ian, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
See, the thing is, you don't get into relationships with someone who's an hour away because gas is just too expensive nowadays. All right, guys, can we keep it going for Ian Ellis?
What's happening, guys? I don't smoke crack. I lost these teeth to poor health care and Snickers bars like everybody else. They love Snickers. Ashley's nervous. I think you gotta be meaner to these guys. Are you still here, Ashley? Do not take her home. She has a huge penis. You shouldn't be nervous around open mic male comedians. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. But she works at Victoria's Secret, so she just showed up smelling like dirty underwear. Michael McCabe's just gonna blush and rub up against something. What are you saying, Ashley? Anybody else notice that Mexican had weird arms? He's like a midget, but he was regular size. But not like a regular sized person, like a giant midget. He's cool though, I like that guy. Down there in his bibliotheca. I heard on the radio that 19 kids get shot a day. Stop the shooting. I have a lot of other questions. Are they making these playgrounds in Fallujah? Where the fuck are these kids hanging out? How bad are these kids? Who wants to kill a 7-year-old? Real talk, motherfucker. Sean? Sean, that fucking 5th grader? Sean? I'ma murder him on everything. As soon as you get on that motherfucking bus, Sean! Motherfucking dead. It's like 7,000 kids a year, just about. We don't shoot that many terrorists. These fucking kids will shoot you with anything. They show up with antique guns. From the Civil War to Robert E. Lee Elementary. Weapon of murder just shows up, a musket. Fucking Sean, always fucking shoving me in the lockers. Better be happy I didn't bring my goddamn cannon. Never bring a beer to a gunfight. My buddy Luke is dying. He called me, he's like, hey man, bad news. I got cancer of the everything. I was like, all of it? He's like, yeah, man, liver, brain. I'm going to screw this in as I say something deeply emotional and personal.
That's what you said.
Facts. Normally, I'd be like, man, hey, what are you going to do? Couldn't do that in this conversation. I was like, fuck, man, how are you holding up? He's like, you know, I just got to do whatever Deadpool did. And I'll pull through. My wife is pregnant. Pregnant as shit. Titties are huge. Nipples look like they're holding their breath. It's like that red part on the tomato. Like it just pulled the top off. My name's Ian Ellis. I'll have you good night.
Thank you.
your host, Dean Ellis.
Yo, what up here?
As always, I'm joined by my main man, Mr.
Yo, Leroy Hitz in the building. What's up, y'all? Happy belated Father's Day. I know it's a couple days, but you know, all the real dads out there, man, one love, man. I know y'all was holding it down.
Raise those kids.
Hell yeah, man. Keep doing what y'all doing. We're very proud of y'all, man. Like, for real, for real.
Unless you fucking up, then stop it.
You know what? If you fucking up, fuck you. Happy mothers? No, let's not do that, because I know a lot of fathers is married. No, can we get one goddamn day? Like, I totally understand y'all, man. For real.
It's like fathers just want to be left alone.
You know what? We want recognition. But we want to be left alone too. Like, do something real nice for us. Like, blow our mind, because we hustle. We out there working. We making the dream come true. For y'all to live the way y'all living and to have the dream that y'all have is because of that, man. So
I think about my dad being my age. I'm like, oh, I fucked his life up.
That was
he was
times.
Doing stuff, having a life, and then I just came along and I was like, me now.
He was like, oh fuck,
poor guy.
Love you, bro. What's up, man? But nah, I feel you, man.
I was listening to Bill Burr on the Sam and Jim show, and he was talking about the old days of the Comedy Cellar, which is like, it's like mythical times to me.
Legendary, huh?
Like, tough crowds in the Comedy Cellar in O&A, that's like Mount Olympus, where I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's where the gods are. So, you know, some people look back on it very fondly. Keith Robinson, Kevin Hart, you know, Sam, everybody but Bill. Bill looks back and he goes, I think we were a bunch of toxic people with terrible coping mechanisms. And I was like, I don't know how, like, I love that culture, but I don't do it to be malicious. I do it to sharpen my teeth and to hopefully sharpen their teeth, and like, it's all in fun.
It is.
He's like, no, that's not healthy. Yeah, I think he's been in L.A. for too long.
Right? You know, people, different perspectives, man. You know how it didn't go good for him. And it left a sour-ass taste in his mouth. That's a little bitterness right there. That's that taste of bitterness. Just a little bit, bro. Because the other comics, it's inspired them. And it curved them into the person that they are. They're just like, yo, it's a toxic waste.
So here's the weird thing about being a comic, and Pete Holmes brought it up in his show on HBO. I think it was some dialogue from T.J. Miller, so find the T.J. Miller episode. And he's like, you know, the great thing about when you're a comic, you're starting out and you're taking shots and you're hanging out with your friends, and then when you start making it and actually working the road, you're alone. Like, it's a lonely, you're on your own kind of gig. But those early years, I think, are what make you. I think they're what, like, thickens your skin and helps you to, like, let go of everything but funny, which, you know, philosophically to me is, like, part of being a comedian. It's like, you gotta evolve to get past all this shit. Nothing should be able to hurt you anymore. You should be able to let go of everything. But I might be too deep on this shit. I might be just...
No, you're not too deep, man. You're speaking the truth. I feel like, starting off, I do agree with that. Like, you're alone, but we're comics. We're a different breed. We're the warriors chosen. Like, this is not for everybody. We're an elite few that can get along with just about everybody. That's our main goal, isn't it? To make everybody laugh. I know it's impossible, but we're trying to reach for the stars. There's not a comic who hasn't gotten in the comedy and be like, I don't want to make everybody laugh. Shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I like all that, but I kind of hate when people speak for comics. Because a lot of times they'll be like, we're all broken. We're all miserable. Yeah. We're all depressed, right? I'm like, no.
No, we're not.
I'm growing. I'm getting better. Yeah. I'm in search of happiness.
Yeah.
Who wants to suffer all the time? Every day?
Every day.
Every day.
Right. For real.
It doesn't make you more artsy. That makes you a fucking terrible human.
To me, that's privilege. It's a different type. Like, as black people, man, I'm speaking for my black people. I'm a part of the union.
He's got a card.
Yeah, I got a card. I'm moving up
certified
in the ranks. Right. I'm at the round table, boy. But as a black man, like, yeah, that's white people, man. I'm sorry to say it. It's always like, we're broken. Like, black people are like, yo, you should see who my next door neighbor is. See what's around me. See what I got to face every day. Like, quit crying. Like, fuck out of here.
White people are more open about depression.
Because they think it's cool.
I'm sure black people get depression in equal or greater amounts.
We get depressive, but somehow it's suppressed with anger. It's like we won't fight everybody. Yeah, like we handle it differently. When we get depressed, man, that's where we turn to the weed. That's where we turn to the lavish things, start spending. Oh, psychologically, that's how we do. We buy into the man's game. You start spending, going to the club, tricking the money off to the man, you know what I mean?
It left me thinking about, like, what is a toxic person? Because I don't expect everyone to get it right. Like, you want someone that gets it right, go to church. This is comedy. Yeah. I expect everybody to be a little fucked up and to need a little bit of grace, you know? You're going to need a little bit of forgiveness to get through this. Because, like, I didn't drink before I did comedy. That was the first time I drank. And then I developed a drinking problem and then had to come out of a drinking problem. Which is all just like painful shit to do publicly. It's like it's embarrassing. Yeah.
That it is.
But it, you know, that was my journey. That's what I went through. But
personally, it's embarrassing.
I think the toxic people are the people that stop growing. That aren't. It's not about becoming a better person at all. They're just they're locked into where they're at, and they want to bring you down to wherever that is. Yeah. I think it's people that want to be controlling too.
It is. You know what? It is. It is a level of both. I think it goes hand in hand. They want to knock you down and be controlling because if they control that, they control, like, the thought pattern.
They feel like if they control something at this small level, the open mic in the middle of the Midwest, if they could fuck up one open micer's life, that's some amount of power, which I guess would be, like, power over their own lives, but it's like, this is the smallest part of comedy.
It is. You know what? It's the smallest part, but it's also the biggest part. This is the seed that actually grow. Like, you know, this is like, yeah, it's a small baby seed and it might not mean nothing right now. But if you keep watering that seed and keep working on that seed, that motherfucker grow into a big ass tree. Like, it all depends on how you look at it. But for them fuck faces, excuse my language, but being real, like, I don't understand the thought process behind by putting somebody else's down. Put somebody else down who's doing comedy. Like, we're all doing the same shit. Like, why do you even care?
Where's your humility?
Yeah, true that.
We all started somewhere.
Yeah. But why does that person affect you to a degree that you gotta put them down?
And that's, I think, where, like, cliques and stuff come from. Is like,
yeah, it is.
We're
it
above
is.
You.
It is. It is. It's always been an elite. You always think they're the elite.
Clicks is just like dick riding, is it?
It is. Depending on what type of click, because I got a click, man. You know, you're a part of that click. We the homies, but...
Yeah, but we're a welcoming click.
Yeah, it is.
We don't exclude.
Yeah, that's true. If you on that real shit. But other clicks, you are right. You got to buy a membership. Like, what? What? This is a joke? Does it come with a letterman's jacket? No, it just comes with hating privileges. And let's go around and fuck shit up. Let's fuck commas up. Fuck jokes. Let's go over here and report and say this is horrible. Or let's team up and go over here and be like, yo, this mic ain't shit.
So you ever think about, like toxic people in real life, a lot of times I'm like, where are the grown-ups? Where's the adults?
And this,
like, I hate to be so disrespectful to people that believe in religion, but I'm just like, what the fuck? The information is out there. Like, how can you claim that you passionately care about something, but you haven't done the research? Unless I'm just dramatically wrong. But then it becomes the same thing with, like, the Republican Party or, like, the awful liberal left where they're fucking bullying people.
Facts, bro. Facts.
It's toxic people that are they're stuck in, like, they don't have their own identity, so they belong to a group identity. I think that's what it is.
And you're right, but doesn't the toxic people fuel the...
We're solving problems.
It's, man, facts. But doesn't that sway the human race? Like, you need those toxic people. Like, it's like the big man pays.
They make the most noise.
They do. But they make the most noise, but their bark is so soft.
But people that are growing need to hold people accountable. Like, if you know better...
What you mean?
If you know better. You see someone that's about to burn their hand. You go, hey, don't do that.
Oh, yeah, that's common sense, isn't it?
They still want to do it. It's fine. But if you know better, you should say something. And it seems like nobody knows better anymore.
But, bro.
Nobody knows what the fuck is going on.
And I agree, but what is that lacking? Isn't that common sense? Like, I can't watch you sit over here and burn your hand. Like, I just gonna let you burn your hand. It smells like flesh. My favorite scent. Like, no.
With Trump, you would think someone would just be like, all right, this has gone on long enough. All right, guys, we're just, stop. No. We're not going to listen to him.
You know, political is always, you know, it's a hard conversation, but hypothetically speaking, just my perspective on it. It's all a part of the plan, and the plan is to control the media.
Bringing in conspiracy.
You know what? It's just a thought. It's control the media, because they always don't. The media is like, they're so appalled with Trump, but they love so broadcasting appalled. Trump. Like, they love putting his antics out there and just giving him all the clout. Like, because it gives them something to talk about.
It's called lazy journalism.
It is.
Like, why do research when you could just quote somebody saying something outrageous? It's like,
but what's the benefit? What's the benefit for us?
The benefit is that they don't have to do the research and that they'll get the most views. And you need those views to sell fucking toilet paper and ice cream.
But you know what? And you're absolutely right. But the other benefit is whatever these motherfuckers are trying to do with the contracts and all of this setting shit up, like, it's always underhand. Let's look at this puppet, act a fool. But over here, some shit is going down. You know what I mean?
Where are the grown-ups that are like, if you want to talk about the Kardashians on E! News or E! Troll Hollywood, that's fine. But on regular news, we're not going to talk about that.
You know what? I'll tell you, the grown-ups don't want to get their hands messy. It's one of them. They're the scared grown-ups.
We need some grown-up talk that's like, it's not about parties. It's about justice and accountability and growth and progress.
No, you ain't.
But we don't even know what the fuck those things would look like.
Yeah. Because we don't follow by. Yeah, you know what? It's not going to happen. Not right now, bro. Because those grown-ups don't want to get their hands messy.
The environment, the Paris Accord thing, is like, if it's real.
Yeah.
And I assume that it is. I trust the scientific community. We can't continue to entertain horseshit.
Yeah.
The grown-ups have to draw a line.
Yeah. You know what? I agree. But you know what? You know who the fuck the grown-ups are? It's us. It's our age bracket. Like, this is where we take the motherfucking bull by the horns and be like, hey, look here, motherfucker. And it is coming out because we're voicing it because we're drawing attention to the dumb shit. But
I hate it, though, because I feel like I know nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I know enough that I can see someone's trying to play me. Mm-hmm. I can point it out.
Yeah.
I don't have the facts. I don't have the information. I just have common sense.
And there we go again. That was a word that's our magical word of the evening.
Common sense.
Common sense. And it's funny how many people lack that shit.
As Dante Nero would say, common sense ain't common.
Man, my mom said that
principles.
Shit. Come on, bro.
Phil podcast.
It's so true, man. If you think about it, if we had more common sense out here, man, the world would be ran a little bit differently.
So thinking about the future, the best thing that could possibly happen is if all people came together and we said, we're a species, no more countries, just we're fighting for us.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to let go of America?
Yeah, Nick. I'm black. Hell yeah. There's somebody going to come to me as a spokesman for the black people.
I got a ticket to North Korea right now.
Somebody going to come to me and be like, yo, man, we can just live if we're a species and we just live and we can save the earth and you can save your family and save all. I'm like, fuck yeah, man, sign me up and just forget about America. Fuck, America has not been good to me. Oh, racist ass bitch. Like, I love you, but, you know, I'm just saying. The way you did my people was kind of wrong, America. But it was those people who lacked common sense that ran America. So I know it wasn't your fault, pretty lady. I apologize.
Did you catch the clip of Ice Cube checking Bill Maher over the M-word?
Mm-mm.
So Bill Maher, like, made a bad joke, used the M-word in it, and then, like, immediately apologized. It was an ad-lib joke.
Yeah.
Didn't work that well, but, you know, on his feet, I thought it was a well-written joke. He just should have changed the N-word to slave. It would have been a funny joke. It would have been great. But
especially
he went overboard. He was too comfortable.
Yeah.
And Bill Maher's like a habitual line stepper. Like, he's always kind of...
He is.
Yeah,
Mrs. Q.
Yeah.
Q doesn't have it like he used to.
Now, Q went on there and he said, you know, as the spokesman for black people, he said, we're taking the word back and white people can't use it anymore. And I'm sorry if you're uncomfortable. Now, I liked what he said. I liked the idea. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I like the idea of black people taking ownership over the word again, because I feel like that's moving backwards.
Yeah.
I understand the thinking behind it, and I'm totally about, like, I agree with the sentiment, but it feels like backwards progress to me.
It is.
But Ice Cube, I was like, Mr. NWA, Mr. Straight Outta Compton, Mr. 187.
Yeah.
Writing songs about killing cops.
Yeah. Trey, he did it.
You're the one.
Fuck the police.
Yeah, it's fuck the police, but you can't say, like, it's okay to talk about killing cops, but it's not okay to use the N-word. Like, I just didn't like it. It felt corny to me, and it felt like he was checking Bill, and I was like, listen, Disney movie.
Family Guy.
I know you had some balls with NWA, but do you know how much balls it takes to be Bill Maher, to be that cocky, awful Jew?
Takes a lot of
years. He's not even Jewish. He's like fucking Catholic or something. But
it takes a lot of years to build up.
He's
that
been
bitterness.
Waving his dick in people's faces for like a century.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you, Ian. But as a representative of the black people at the Black Caucus,
he is black.
Yeah, and I'm representing him just on the narrative of the scenario. I feel where he's coming from.
That's facts.
The reason why I say that is because, hey man, y'all getting a little too goddamn comfortable. And I'm just letting you know, like, y'all easy does it, man. I don't know how you feel, but them words mean something to me, because you got a lot of bad apples out here to drop that word freely, and they don't expect you to do some shit. Like, well,
and I've changed my policy on it, because my policy before was like, I'm for all free speech, and if it's funny, I'm doubly for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, if I can find a funny way to say it, who cares? You know,
oh yeah, as a comedian.
And I thought it was more evolved to have that opinion, right, to be like, words literally don't. I literally do not give a fuck. That's how not racist I am. Yeah. I do not give a fuck. It's funny to me that this word is hateful to you.
Yeah.
But not everybody is there, and I realize the people that aren't there with me, I'm hurting and offending them.
Yeah.
And so, as a human being, trying to not be a toxic person, I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to use it anymore. It's not going to make or break me. But I don't know. Some people might say that's like folding or like giving in, but I'm like, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with not saying that. I'm cool with not saying the F word as a personal decision. And I'll stand by somebody else's right to do it. Yeah. But me personally, I'm like, it's needless.
Bro, it really is. Like, everything that you just said, I look at it like this. At the end of the day, it's a word, and words do not hurt me. Like, you can put, like, as Caucasian men out there, women, and all of that. That nigga right in the middle of the street. Oh, crazy ass.
Uh-oh.
But as the white people out there, pay attention, man. Like, or anybody, just put a different spin to the word. Choose a different word. We have a million meanings for one word. Choose a different word. Create your own culture. Create your own language.
Linguistically, I can tell you this. Like, the N-word is a great beat. Like, that's why it's rap so much. That's why it's in comedy so much. It's a great, like, beat to hit.
Yeah.
Motherfucker works just as well.
Yeah.
So just change it up to motherfucker.
It does. Or you, like, ninja. Everybody knew what a ninja.
I don't like ninja because I feel like that's, like, trying to be cute with it. Like, trying to be sneaky racist.
But it is.
I'm not going to say it, guys, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
But create something that, I mean, but it all will be like that. Whatever word, if you say cowboy.
Yeah, if you say flowers.
Yeah, it's going to be.
As Patrice would say.
So let it be. But just quit saying the word. And as black people, if we let them create these words, hey, nigga won't mean nothing anymore. And our point will be proven.
Here's a theory I had. I think if black people stop using the N-word, white people would stop using the N-word.
They will.
Because they're just emulating black people.
But you know what?
Except for the hardcore races, and nobody likes them.
You know what? And you're absolutely right. But you know what will keep on saying the N-word? Mexicans.
Oh, jeez.
Them motherfuckers say it all the time. Ask KB. KB will tell you.
Those dirty, wet-backed.
They got it down to a nigga. Like,
sneaking in our country, taking all our jobs.
That's why the wall's going up. I'm just joking. I love y'all. I'm not.
Shout out to all my people in Oaxaca, Mexico. I love my Mexicans. Even though I made fun of one tonight. Shout out. The dude was cool.
That's all love. But just quit giving the power to this N word, man.
And if you don't need to use it, don't. Like, you never need to. That's my thing. I'm justifying it like, if I don't use this N-word, the building's going to burn. I better get this N-word out or everybody's going to die.
I mean,
you don't need to. You never need it. You never do.
And honestly, like let's be truth be told, like I keep it 100. You gonna piss off the black people in the room, no matter if we say we cool with it, cause we know what you mean by it. Like we not dumb. We not dumb. We gonna be and we gonna say the same shit. You know he wanted to use that motherfucking word. Yeah, we was gonna fuck him up. I gave him that one look.
I saw it in the corner of his eye.
Like we don't play, bro. We don't play.
So guys, I've used it in the past. There's clips and jokes of me doing it in the past. We'll go down to the next one in time.
Yeah.
But I'm changing my opinion on it. I will not be doing it anymore. Just because I don't want to. If I change my mind again in the future, Leroy might slap me. But, you know, if I change my mind, change my mind. But right now, I'm trying to evolve. Trying to be a less toxic person.
As black people, you know, he is my Caucasian friend. So, you know, sometimes you give a couple of them a pass. You know what I'm saying? You give it, you know how it is. Y'all give it a pass. Y'all know how it is. Y'all gonna be like, yeah, we know. But, you know, we do know there's a limit. Well,
so here's the thing of, like,
7.
Anytime there's a white guy that has a lot of black friends, I'm one of them, you get comfortable saying it around those friends.
Yeah.
And then they feel like they can say it anywhere else. I think that's a bullshit excuse because it's like, I love using the word bitch when I'm talking to my friends. Mm. I don't use the word bitch when I'm talking to my parents or, like, in a parental setting. So you know when to not use words.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need the excuse of, oh, well, I'm down. Nobody's down. Nobody's down enough. Nobody's that down, bro.
Yeah.
You're just not.
And you, truth be told.
Be respectful. Be a decent human.
Yeah. Truth be told, man, I don't even set up them words. I don't even let it be okay. Like, I don't invite those words in. I don't call nobody a bitch. I don't do any of that because I don't play with any of that. So when you use those words towards me like in that, I'm going to look at you like, bro, what's up? Because where I'm from, all those words will get it cracking. Like ASAP.
Right.
Nice, man.
Anything you want to touch on before we get out of here?
Well, you know, our topic was just toxic people. Like our people out there, listeners, man, pay attention, man. Like, it's, you can weed those toxic people out. Like,
people use you up, and it's okay to have boundaries.
It is, man.
You're worried about someone liking you, but what if you don't like them?
It's okay. You don't gotta rock with
them.
You're
trying to please someone, and you don't even like them?
Come on. Well, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You're not staying true to yourself. Remember, let the past be in the past and move forward. It's okay. Get them out your life. Oprah, everybody said. Why would you want to keep weeds?
Listen, just do the best you can every day. And if you don't get it right, try and do better tomorrow. It's a process, man.
And don't talk about it. Be about it. And those toxic people, man, have a voice. Say something. Be like, man, you don't gotta talk about that person. Don't invite that in there. If you still want to kick with them, don't invite that toxin in there and check them at the door. Like, hey, man, I'm not really looking for these.
I'm not feeling that.
I'm not. Yeah, on the real, I'm not feeling what you're saying right now. You still my peoples, but what you're saying is craziness right now. Fuck out of my face. What you mean? Yeah.
ENLS.podbean.com at Chicago Open Mic. Go holler at the Eskimo Bros. Eskimo Bros. Squadcast Podcast.
Yeah.
Leroy, you can find him on the Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat Leroy Hits, man. You sign me. Find me on Instagram. I got my Instagram popping. Had a wonderful show this weekend, so the Instagram popping right now.
And we got a show coming up on the 21st.
Oh, yeah. Come check out that. Two Broke Brothers.
We're in Naperville. Check me out on Facebook if you want to come frolic.
Hey, man, I told my homies about it. But, yeah, Snapchat, YouTube. I think that's it.
Shout out YSF.
YSF, KB, what up? Kim Corey, Marian, what's up?
Corey.
JD, what up?
Braga, braga.
Base Camp.
Yeah, Base Camp. Come out to the next Second Sunday show at Base Camp. We're building steadily.
Hey.
A lot of bikinis.
Hey, for real, it's all about loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
And stay woke. I got tickets to hand out, and... come have a good time.
Right. I'm gonna be there.
Peace.
What's up, Ash?
Dude, that's not very nice. You're using a studio here.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm taking on a bunch of garbage shows on this network. They're all terrible. I'm gonna fucking bring them all down. Rich and Bonnie, oh, they're married. So kids are turkey. Fudge and Nick DiPaolo. You fucking shut up, sock cucker.
You're gonna. Maybe I should try to woo you away to the Compound Media Network. I think Chip would fit in pretty well there.
I probably would. I love toxicity.
YouTube is very successful. Monolithic, even. If you simply try to recreate YouTube, who are your users going to be? Well, generally speaking, it's going to be a lot of users with small to tiny channels, and it's going to be the people that were too toxic for YouTube. That second one is a far bigger deal than I think most people in the position of platform development really appreciate. If you compete with a monolith, the first people to jump on board will be the people who were tossed off the other ship. And most of them were tossed off for a reason. Now, this can go either way. There's a lot of creators out there who are disillusioned with YouTube systems, with the culture on the site, the notoriously awful commenters, and the inter-channel targeting and harassment. They haven't necessarily been kicked off, but many of them have been driven away. The key point is that you get the audience you build, and if you don't build it, odds are you're going to end up with the dregs. This is why Dailymotion is largely inhabited by automated corporate accounts and clickbait pseudoscience peddling diet pills. If a concerted active effort isn't made to cultivate the types of users that you want to see, then before you know what's happened, toxic users will have become your core users, and then you're never going to get out of that hole.
It gets exhausting after a while. Being angry a lot, it's like, ugh.
And I always read it's the most immature, knee-jerk emotion to have. It doesn't solve anything, and it's a really immature way of handling shit. It's
right.
Funny to watch.
Yeah, it's great.
Somebody losing their shit. And I actually get a charge out of watching people lose their shit because I so relate to it. But
it's when you take it home with you and it's in the car with you. It's just toxic and it's always there. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that I grew up around a lot of volatile people. And you think in your head, I'm never doing that. I'm not going to associate with people, blah, 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 blah. And then what it is you go out in the world and unless you've really worked it out, you just gravitate towards what is natural, which is why, you know, all of us lunatics, I think, because I think now, like, we have really healthy back and forth. But when I look back at a lot of that shit at the table, a lot of that was not healthy. Where we were sitting there going, oh, we're toughing each other up to go on stage.
But it was like, really just all your anger,
dude,
and insecurity.
I used to fucking go, and him and Patrice and Keith and all those guys would be down there. Like, I remember I would be thinking about their faces and everything, and I would try to come up with like 3 or 4 fucking jabs just so I could get to the seat so I could sit down. And it never dawned on me when it wasn't working for me because I was really angry back then to just be like, why don't you just not go there? Why don't you just sit down at another table? Because,
right.
Because the way I grew up was that's what everybody did to everybody. So that was the Thanksgiving table, dude. Like, when I look back at that, we were just, you know, the broken toys just fucking
yeah.
Beating the shit out of each other. I mean, it was fucking,
it
you
was
know,
fun,
and yeah, it was definitely fun. But there was definitely times where, you know, you and I got into real arguments.
Sure.
Me and Patrice got in real arguments. You got into it with people. Bobby got into it with people. Like, it would.
One of the best beatings ever. Were you there for the Bill Burr beating when he took the fucking, the greatest
not
beating?
Not only was I there, Bill tried to fight it off for so long, trying to fight back, and eventually he just sat there, and everybody just kept doing. I remember I told Bill he was eating chicken as if he just beat cancer. he was taking the smallest sickly bites. I said, Bill, will you eat the fucking piece of chicken? Like, he, like, it literally took Bill 3 minutes to eat a buffalo wing.
We found out who ratted him out.
I think it was it wasn't Patrice.
It was Keith, myself, Kevin, Patrice, and we found
somebody told on him.
It was the Yankees, Diamondbacks World Series 2001, I think.
Ooh.
And we found out Bill got a gig performing comedy on a bus that
going,
was taking people
in.
To the game.
No fucking way.
He was doing
no
a road.
Fucking
he was,
way.
He was a bus comic.
And Bill was getting the pain. He was getting was that he got to go to the game. And I don't remember who teased him or who first mentioned it, but it's one of the...
Was it Bobby? Did Bobby tell us?
I don't remember who.
Somebody told us, but when I say we beat the shit out of Bill verbally...
It was one of the greatest all-time beatings ever given to a comedian.
It would have to be with that situation.
It got to the point where Bill had nothing to do but attack other people's careers. What are you doing, Kevin? Yeah. Yeah, what job, you, what gig are you getting? Yeah. Shut up, stupid. Why don't you go get on the MTA and tell some
jokes. You remember some of the lines?
No, but I know we made fun of him. Is it weird performing when you're not going backwards?
That should be a DVD, man.
The comedians, of course, everyone did the fucking walking down the steps performing joke and fucking.
Did it make you stop your jokes when they got to announce the bus stop? Hold on, Bill, for a second. Just wait. One second.
Do you know you're bombing and people are like, pushing the button over? It was fucking, dude, it was literally a 45-minute assault. And Bill just got mad at one point. Hey, at least my parents don't drink. It was like that type
it just
of
got ugly. How long was your set? 10 stops?
Oh, dude, it was a great.
That was really brutal.
That is brutal.
I've witnessed some good ones. I remember I brought a girl in one time. She was actually good looking. Not a bad looking girl, man. But she had this hat on. She had a hat.
That's all it takes.
This hat, like, I'm telling you, like, her body was nice. She had a nice ass. Cute in the face. She had a hat. And they was like, what are you doing with a Russian spy? everybody kept sneaking around like as if they were. they kept doing like spy like shit.
Just creeping
it's like all you can do is like, dude, she's great. A good lady. And I'm bringing her in it. Sweetie, look, take your hat off for a second. Show her. She's like,
man.
Wow, what's wrong? And like she's doing stuff to amp it up. She's like putting the hat backwards and like, oh, Jesus. it's no beating it, man. I can honestly say it's the best times of my life were probably at the Comedy Cellar. I remember my birthday, Keith got me drunk. You know, I was 21. I just turned 22, and it was my birthday. But, you know, there, I never drank there. Even though we did, it wasn't really a thing to do. Like, we didn't sit around and get drunk. Like,
who started that? Patrice, who started that Bill Burr beating? Who started that Bill Burr bus beating?
Oh, you know what it was? I'll tell you what it is. Jim Norton is really, you got to be careful. Because another thing, Kev is like this, too, and I think it's that Napoleon complex thing. And it's a really... Kev, this jerk-off story started one day. We used to go downstairs back in the day like at the Cellar when guys would be performing, okay?
Oh, right.
And we would sit there and all sit in the front row and stare at
somebody. Get the fuck out of
here. Oh, yeah. Damn. We did it with Kevin a few times. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That's brutal.
Jesus.
This was the test. I mean, we were brutal. We used to have a hat court. We would put up somebody's act on court.
They did it to me.
That bit you do sucks.
Hack court. I love it. Hack court.
Really.
You put a bit on trial.
Dude, they would do it all the time.
Fantastic.
I had a joke.
So we went downstairs and sat in front of him. And he was flustered. We was getting him. And he just caught me jerking off in his house. This is how you know he fucking started imitating me jerking off at his house.
Damn sure did. I pushed the button. I didn't have that much left.
He started cutting out of that like it was nasty. How it hurt me. And he had to do what he had to do because he fucking had to get out that situation. By any means necessary. Now here's this fucker, Jim. Bill was talking about something. And Jim said something, and Bill said something to Jim, and Jim didn't like what Bill said to him. Like he said it was going to be embarrassing, and Jim was going to get a fucking beating for what happened, and I forgot what it was. But Jim goes in front of me, Kev, Keith, and I think it was another guy,
Bob Kelly.
Bobby was there for the bus beating.
It was Kelly. But it was me and Lil Kev that was giving the beating with the but Norton goes, at least I'm not performing on a bus.
That's right. I did not remember that.
No, that's right.
Patrice, you're 100% right. Because Bill was going at it with you, Jim, and he hit you with something. He hit you good. And we were about to attack you. You're right, Patrice. We were about to jump on your ass.
Jimmy had it in his back pocket.
I did not remember that.
Neutron bomb.
Everybody
said, what?
I remember that. We said, what?
On a bus for tickets. It was
great deflection.
To this day, there was three beatings, four beatings of all time. And I'm telling you, Norton was a part of two of my biggest laughs in my life. But this bus beating
is legendary.
Of Kev, because what happened is you feed Kev the important lines, and he would just make it he would take it to the next level. And what the whole thing was for an hour was what happens if you start bombing? And then where do you come from and where do you go when you're finished?
We said, oh, you just sit down from. We said, where did they bring you up from? We said, Bill was behind the bus driver. Bill Burr. And he just takes a step out. He was just sitting in the front seat. There's no way for them not to know that he was the comic. Like, we was like, how do you sneak on stage, Bill?
What he would do is go, after one joke bombs,
he
just look out the window and go, if you look to your left.
Oh, shit.
It was an all-timer, but, oh, man, good reminiscent days.
And then was it
over, like, the public address system?
Oh, dude.
Like, hey, how about the, I went to the Container Store with my girlfriend. And,
let me tell you, when
Norton just said, "You're at least I'm not doing."
Jimmy knew his life was being threatened.
I swear to God, Patrice's not lying. He's not lying, Jim. You did.
On a bus for World Series tickets. And
I didn't remember that. I certainly believe it.
Oof. Yeah. No, wait a minute. But Bill looked at you.
How could you do that? Like, how could you do that?
Why?
Out of all things to do. I remember.